Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And now for 10 good IndyCar seconds.
Not much happening this weekend, but we're getting ready for Pocono and very excited for the big race. The last oval of the season. It's not really an oval, though, but you get it.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestics microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink snacks. Pickle bar is second to none. Corey, thanks. Pickles are unbelievable. Brought them over on a Wednesday night. Oh, man, it was great. Great. Thank you, Corey, so much for that. Kept them on ice. Ooh, so good. And, of course, roast the peanuts hot and fresh every day. Look, stock up now. Look, the weekend's going to get hot. It's going to be a little more humid. You know, you're going to be done cutting the lawn. So, you know what? I wish I'd gone to Brewers Outlet. Well, don't end up saying that. Just go now, take care of it, and you're all set for the weekend. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. What was interesting in Chicago in talking about rivalries, which is a big story, obviously, in college, because rivalries today, Oklahoma and Nebraska, do not play any longer. But it's not because Nebraska moved to the Big Ten. They actually were put in separate divisions in the Big 12, and they rotated off of each other's schedules from time to time, and they would play the game in October instead of at the end of the season. So just by being in a conference, you can take apart a rivalry. Missouri and Kansas no longer play each other in basketball. Missouri's in the SEC now. Texas A&M. A&M moves to the SEC, no Texas A&M football game. And, of course, around here, people have lamented the fact that Penn State and Pitt do not play. But you're in a difficult time now where decisions were made a long time ago by respective parties. And then when decisions come back to bite one of the parties, they're supposed to cry poor to the rest of the world. Oh, you made the decision. I'm not going to. So we moved on. And the decision was made by Pitt back in 1981 not to join Penn State in a football all-sports conference. Instead, they made the decision, and it was a very good decision basketball-wise, to join the Big East. And I've told the story before, but give Dave Gavitt credit. You got to remember the times are changed. They're different now than they were in 1979. The landscape is different now. And in 1979, when Dave Gavitt formed the Big East Conference, he was a man of vision because he looked around the country and he saw the Southwest Conference, the Big Eight, the Big Ten, the Pac-8, the Southeastern Conference, the ACC, and no organization in the East. It was ECAC this and ECAC that. So he organizes a basketball conference. And it also happens at the same time when ESPN begins its run, September 5th, 1979. So the timing and the marriage between the two is perfect. And for Pitt basketball, once they ended up joining the Big East, it was an incredible boon for them, to the point where they built a beautiful arena. I think it's about as nice an arena as I've seen in the Peterson Center. And Pitt has worked itself into being, especially over the last 15 years, a perennial round of 32, Sweet 16 program. And all the credit in the world to what Ben Howland did and all the credit to the world as to what Jamie Dixon has been doing. But none of this helped Pitt football. In the 80s, Pitt had it the way they wanted it. Exactly the way they wanted it. They were in the Big East for basketball, and Penn State was not, and they get to play Penn State in football every year. Okay. But then in 1989, Penn State was invited to the Big Ten. You can't do that. Yeah, we can.
you can't do that. Yeah, we can. I mean, you already told us you won't do it. Gave you the chance, and you wouldn't do it. Well, Penn State going to the Big Ten is absolutely the last thing the people at Pitt ever expected. And again, their lack of foresight ends up being a crushing blow to what they're doing today. And Penn State goes into the Big Ten, you know, you already have eight games locked in. You're not going to play everybody on a year-in and year-out basis. You already have contracts with other teams to play and so forth. You know, and I think everybody knows how the story goes. The problem, then the Big East tries to counter, and they form the Big East Football Conference. Now, let's go back to 1981. The foresight that Dave Gavitt showed, which was tremendous, big-picture, forward-thinking Dave Gavitt, was the same thing with Joe Paterno. Forward-thinking, big-picture Joe Paterno. He looked around at the same landscape. And the same landscape was the Big Eight, the Pac-8, the Big Ten, Southwest Conference, SEC, ACC, no organization in the East. And it also, of course, over that time, with Joe as the head coach in the 60s and the 70s, Penn State was hurt by its Eastern schedule. But he thought an Eastern all-sports conference at time had come, and he worked tirelessly to make it happen. He was working hard at trying to lure Maryland to be the eighth team. He was trying very hard to hook in with the Fiesta Bowl to be the automatic bowl bid. I mean, that's how far Joe took it. He took it a long way. And then the Big East, with help from Boston College and Syracuse, invited Pitt to play basketball. Pitt took it. And that decision by Pitt to do that would be lauded today if Penn State hadn't joined the Big Ten. But Penn State did join the Big Ten. And when they did, it threw an entire monkey wrench into that plan. The other part that Dave Gavitt also could not have foreseen was the Oklahoma-Georgia lawsuit that was settled, I want to say, in 1982. And that changed the television landscape of college football. From Penn State may be on TV a couple times a year, Pitt would be on TV once a year, to, you mean we can put every game on TV? All of them? Really? Now the moves that you see in expansion are all football-driven moves. They are not basketball-driven moves. Now basketball ends up being a beneficiary, but they're football-driven moves. Louisville goes to the ACC. Well, basketball and the ACC benefits by having Rick Pitino and Louisville in there. But the reason Louisville made the move was not because of that. They made the move because of football. That's where the heavy, heavy money is coming in. Basketball brings in a lot of money. Football brings in heavy money. So all these moves have been football-related moves. And this causes the demise, eventually, of the Big East, because the Big East was never organized. It was a league. There's a difference between a league and a conference. In a conference, you play everybody in everything. But the Big East was a league. It was, you know, we'll change some rules on the fly. It was catch as catch can. You've got eight basketball schools that weren't always enamored with what the football schools were doing, and vice versa. You had a league that was so desperate that they looked at Notre Dame and they said, what do you want to play? Golf? Basketball? You don't mind if we mention the football? No, you're not going to do football. You're not going to do football. Oh, okay.
We'll give you whatever you want to play football. Right. We'll even give you a bowl bid.
They gave them the number two bowl bid in the Big East. They gave them the number two bowl bid in the Big East.
We'll even share our money with you.
For a group that's not playing football. Got the number two Big East bowl bid. Not even playing football. And then they put the Miami rule in. They were so desperate to keep Miami, they put the Miami rule in. That rule was if you won the conference and went to a BCS bowl game, you got a $4 million bonus. That was the Miami rule. That's how desperate they were to somehow, with masking tape, keep that conference together. Or should I say league? And this was what Pitt was a part of. And Penn State went, fans may complain about the Big Ten all they want. The one thing you can't complain about is the money trail. The money trail from television is very, very, very impressive. The revenue sharing is very, very impressive. I mean, the Big Ten is a behemoth. And so now, who benefits more from playing the Penn State Pitt series? Pitt. Okay. I don't mind, just so people know, I don't mind if Pitt's on there occasionally, but to lock yourself into every year playing that game, honestly, I've looked at groups, I said, one of the things that made Penn State football great was that Joe had a sense of the big picture and foresight. I said, you as fans have got to have a sense of the big picture here. What do you want to do? Win the Western Pennsylvania Championship or the National Championship? You're playing for the National Championship. You take that number two spot, you value it, and you try to make sure it gives you some RPI bump that gets you to that's a step toward the promised land. Because guess what? If you're the national champion, you're also the champion of Western Pennsylvania too. Seems to go hand in hand. And you have an entire generation now. If you are 30 years old, you saw Penn State Pitt play four times, 97 to 2000. That's it. If you're 30 years old, really? Born in 1985. You're 7 years old the last time they played in, a year out basis. If you're 30 years old, essentially the Big Ten is all you know for Penn State. And as time goes, that number is going to expand. It just is. It's just nature. I mean, what's a bigger game to you, Penn State, Ohio State, or Pitt? What's a bigger game to you, Penn State, Michigan, or Pitt? I'll even take it one step further. What's bigger, Penn State, Michigan State, or Pitt? Michigan State is an exponentially superior opponent than Pitt is. That's three games right there I just named off the top of my head that are better games. What's a better game, Penn State playing Nebraska or playing Pitt? Okay, what's a better game, Penn State playing Wisconsin or playing Pitt? I haven't named a game yet that's not a better game, at least to me, like with better opponents. In Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, they're all better teams. They're all in your conference. I know I spoke up at Williamsport last night, and the topic comes up everywhere I speak about playing Pitt. And again, do I mind if they're on there occasionally? No, I do not mind at all they're on there occasionally. That's fine. But, you only have three of those spots. And only one of them is a home and away spot. If you're going to have seven home games, which is important for athletics moving forward, that means with a nine-game conference schedule, you can only have one home and away slot. And in even years, you can play that game away. And in odd years, you absolutely have to have it at home. Because in even years, you have five conference games at home. And in odd years, you only have four conference games at home. So now you're boxed in there. I mean, who do you want to see, Georgia or Pitt? mean, these are the choices you have to make. If your answer is Pitt, then okay, fine. That's your own personal taste. It's your money. I'm not telling you how, you know, how to spend it. But I just find, from a football point of view, far more intriguing games. Now, that's just me. And believe me, I was around right in the thick of the 74-83 run. Penn State won in 74, good game. 75, Tommy O'Dell blocked all those kicks, really good game. Dorsett had a big game in 76, Pitt won. Penn State won 15-13 in 77, good game in 78. I think Penn State rallied and won 17-10, then went to the national championship game. 79, Pitt won big. 80 was a really good game that Pitt won, 14-9, I think. 81 was the 48-14 game. 82, Penn State won that game. Okay. 83 was the tie. Pitt won big in 84, but then Penn State crushed them in 85, crushed them in 86, beat them in 87, 88. 89, 90, 91, 92. And all the games before 74 were not very good games. And keep in mind, too, nationally, Penn State Pitt doesn't move the meter. It just doesn't. Penn State, Notre Dame, ooh, move, the meter's moving. Okay? Meter, people want to watch this game. Penn State, that's why the writer has it correct. You know, he'd like to see Penn State play Notre Dame. Well, Bill O'Brien tried to set that up, and Notre Dame wasn't available to play games or wasn't on board with it, whatever. But Bill tried before the sanctions. But Penn State, Notre Dame moves the national meter. That's a big game. Penn State Pitt does not move the national meter. Now, do we have to do everything that moves the national meter? No. I mean, you do have to listen to the fans, and there are going to be four straight games with Pitt. I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out and how people feel about it. But I feel like playing Pitt every year puts you in a box. Like I said, occasionally I think that's fine. Occasionally is great. But when you only have the three non-conference games, I don't want to see Penn State boxed in with that game, because you're not gonna, because if you're boxed in with that game, you are not going to get Alabama, Texas, USC, Georgia, somebody. You're not going to get that. You can't. The other two slots have to be, they come to your place only slots to get the seven games. So if you play Pitt, you've boxed yourself in. I don't want to see Penn State boxed in. Penn State should not be boxed in. Penn State is not a state program. Penn State's a national program. At least the way I see it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
0-66.
The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia. 0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optima, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
I'm still trying to put into words how we started the show today.
Intriguing would be my word.
No, that wouldn't be it.
That's the word I'm using.
No. But, all right. But we moved on to bigger and better things. Ah! At 3:30, that was the sound I was aching to hear.
Can you guess what New Mexico's most popular college football team is?
Can I guess what New Mexico... You mean within the state of New Mexico?
Right.
I mean, come on.
The Lobos.
It's got to be Lobo City, man. I mean...
I was surprised about Illinois, though.
You know what? To be frank with you, this is a perfect topic for the after show.
I knew that was coming. It's on Facebook. If you follow Steve Jones Show on Facebook, and you like it, actually, I should say, you'll be able to see it there. Illinois is interesting.
It doesn't matter.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. You walk in there and it's so well organized with so much help. They bent over backwards for me when I slipped in there one day and they were tremendous. And the pickle bar is second to none. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, snacks, soft drinks, water, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I hope everybody has a great time at Sunbury River Fest. It's goes big night tonight, of course, tomorrow as well. And have a great time at River Fest. They're going to go to, 10:30 tonight, I believe. And then tomorrow's 9:30 to 6.
And there's an after party, too.
Well, good. That's where you can take out the map.
It's kind of like an after show.
Incredible. You got that right. Yeah. But enjoy yourself at Sunbury Riverfest. It's a great time. It's another major reason why the Valley is so much fun to be a part of.
Mark Lawrence, one of the people putting on Sunbury River Festival this year.
Absolutely. And it's a great, great event. It is a fun family event. And again, they'll be rolling until 10:30 tonight, and then it's, 9:30? I want to say 9:30 to 6 tomorrow. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's right in that range, yeah.
Yep, good.
By the way, the detour, just so everybody is aware, the detour is in place right now, so the way around Sunbury's Front Street is closed, is using 4th Street, so there has been some heavy traffic volume in the city of Sunbury throughout the day today because of that detour in effect. So keep that in mind as you're traveling home.
And, of course, admission is free. And it's at Sunbury Square, Camera Park, Market Street, all in Sunbury. Fabulous. And it's a great time. Is this, 50 years? Or is it Shikellamy?
It's the 50th anniversary of Shikellamy. It is, yeah. I believe, good. The 12th year for the Sunbury River Festival, 12th to 13th.
Wow. Awesome. Very nice. And beautiful days for it. The evening tonight could not be any nicer. Could it be any nicer tonight?
No, I don't
Same
think
thing
so.
Tomorrow. The weather tomorrow is going to be unbelievable. In fact, the forecast, I don't see any rain in the forecast for 3 weeks.
Now, it's going to be a little bit more humid for high school two-a-days and the start of fall sports practices, but...
Good. It's August.
You got to get used to it. That's right. That's why they have heat acclimations this week.
Yeah, when it was 64 degrees. Well done. Okay. Kevin started off the show by talking about the virtues of this map. After that, we changed the tone of the show. Rich Scarsella coming up on Monday. Bob Flounders from The Patriot coming up on Wednesday. Paul Page, Sage Karam on the big Pocono race. It's all coming up next week.
And we'll also begin in 2 weeks starting our look at the NFL, as we're working on Larry Michaels from the Redskins, Merrill Reese from the Eagles, Brandon Gauton from Bleeding Green Nation as a regular guest through the NFL season. Yeah. So we'll get all that started in the next couple of weeks, too, as we really gear up for football.
John Farrell, the manager of the Red Sox, has announced that he has lymphoma. And made that announcement today. So and big reason why the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013. Jordan Spieth shot a 67 today. Good shape at the PGA. Second place at the moment. David Lingmerth, who won the Memorial, is in tied with Henley and Jason Day and Dustin Johnson and Matt Jones for first, and Spieth's a shot back. Mickelson's at even par. And last I saw, Tiger was still at 3 over par. And if Tiger does not get it to 1 over par, he will miss the cut again.
I was going to say again, but boy, is Spieth playing some good golf right now. Wow. I mean, with all you know what impresses me? The focus is on him every tournament now, and he is handling it so well.
Yeah. He's a good player. He's a really ultra-talented guy. I was a year too early, but if you remember last year, I picked him to win the U.S. Open. Now, it's too early, but it was as a 21-year-old. Ah, beautiful night to go play golf, as a matter of fact. Whew. Gorgeous night. Enjoy Riverfest to be a good time. Great time. Great community event. So that's what we have guest-wise coming up. Next stop on the speaking tour is Harrisburg. Then after that, Jack and I are doing an event together at the Duquesne Club. Mr. Ham and I spent a couple of hours today over at the practice. We were over there together for a couple hours. And this is a program that has slowly but surely has transformed itself. You have bigger receivers now. You have speed and depth at tailback. You did not have speed and depth at tailback for a couple of years. Now you get speed and depth at tailback. You got guys across the board that can run. It's a lean group. Andrew Nelson got his weight down at that right tackle spot to 290, allowed him to move better. Anthony Zettel got himself down to 278. And they are off to a really, really good start. Now, tomorrow will be the beginning. You know, this next 8 days will be a big evaluation time for me as to what I see in the football team. Because in this 8 days, you'll have this combination, 2 scrimmages and 3 two-a-days. Big time. And then when that second scrimmage is over with, then the transition is going to start to be made to then move to getting to a scout team. It's a blow for a lot of players when they find out they have to go to the scout team. No question. Especially for the younger players. When they see some of their classmates with the upper group. And there are going to be some freshmen that will be with the upper group. No question about it. No question. And a guy that I think, there's several guys that bear watching. And I think a lot of you out there have heard about Barkley. A kid named John Reed that bears watching. Very much. It's just a completely different team athletically. Now, they're a little more mature than last year, but they're also still very young. But the starting point of where they are now, especially on offense, I would say last year the starting point on offense was about a 2. I think the starting point this year is probably about an 8. They still have a long way to go, but they can do a lot more things, and they can do things well. I also think that offensive line really, really benefits from going against Johnson, Zettel, Sickles, Schwann, Cothran, Varney, Brown, and Curtis Cothran every single day. Every day. They go against them all the time. That's only going to make them better. You can't put a price on going against a group of quality every day. It may wound your confidence from time to time, but then when you start winning some battles, it then ratchets up your confidence. And you can't put a price on going up against a group like that on an everyday basis. At some point, you'll break through and start winning those battles, which they have in certain cases, and that will then take the confidence level and give it a good swift kick. And behind Hackenberg, I can tell you I have tremendous, I want to see him do it in a game. Let's see him do it in a game. But from a practice point of view, Trace McSorley is a good player. Trace McSorley is a good player. If you guys have any questions about it, just give us a call at 800-795-9565. The opener is 3 weeks from tomorrow. Well, your opener is, what, 3 weeks from tonight, right?
That makes sense. That is correct, yeah. Regular practices start for all fall sports on Monday. Scrimmages will be Fridays and Saturdays the next 2 weeks for high school football teams.
Well, who's Shikalimi open with?
Lewisburg. That'll be a tough test because Lewisburg has a few skilled players coming back. They also have some experience coming back up front. And I think even though a couple of new players, a new player at quarterback, I think he's a very solid player at quarterback too. So it'll be interesting to see just how everybody matches up. And, of course, it's always tough to see. Like, you have an opportunity to get a good look at what Penn State's going to be like or some of these teams are going to be like in the spring and then through the workouts and everything. It's really tough in high school to get a good look at what a team is going to be like 2 weeks prior to their first game before they even get a scrimmage or anything. You just basically go on who they have coming back.
Right. Well, yeah, but the big difference is they've got two scrimmages.
That is a big help.
When Penn State goes into its first game, they're going into our first game.
That is a big help. And some teams now are scheduling three-way scrimmages. So they kind of break the field up a little bit. One team takes a break, and then they rotate through. So that kind of gives you an opportunity to get through almost like you're having an extra scrimmage.
Right. You also get to see maybe a couple different styles that you might face during the course of the season.
Too. Very much so, yeah. I think it'll be an interesting high school football season. I don't think there's really one dominant team there at any of the levels, conference-wise and district-wise. I think it's still pretty wide open, whether it's AAA, AA, or single A. I am hearing some rumors, though, that the Heartland Athletic Conference is going to see some changes. Rumors of teams deciding to get out of the conference, and they may have to juggle some teams around a little bit from Division One to Division Three, and we'll see what happens. That'll be probably more toward the end of the year. We'll get more information on that. But
does this involve money?
No, not that I'm aware of. I don't think the PIAA would be too happy with that.
Then bypass it. Move on.
Well, it's nice to know what league you're that teams are playing in, so you can be prepared for it. That's a help.
Yeah, fine, sure. Okay, 800-795-9565 is the number. High school conferences, they come and go. All the time.
We've all had these conversations because of the way PIAA runs districts. And not necessarily are all the teams in your district, in your conference. Does it start to lose? Is more of the focus on winning your league or conference, or is it winning districts? And I see more and more where, yeah, it's nice if you win the league or you win your conference, but the focus is where do you stand with district points? And that bothers me a little bit because it just takes away from the point of the regular season. Instead of worrying about who's going to win the conference, it's more like you got to position yourself for points better.
We will wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
0-66. The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia. 0% financing for 66 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optimas, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. 0-66.
Financing to well qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The more.
Rich Scarcello will be with us on Monday from the Reading Eagle. Paul Page on Pocono. Sage Karam on Pocono. Bob Flounders, Penn State football. A lot going on. And we're still in the process of trying to set up a day for us to work from Lash Building.
By the way, Gabe Sinacropi from the Williamsport Crosscutters joining us on Wednesday, I believe.
They've had a great year. Williamsport has, and hopefully it's translating to the gate because Gabe and his group do a great, great job. And I've got three straight games coming up in Williamsport in a little more than a week, a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
The 24th, 25th, and 26th.
I'm glad I'm invited somewhere in Williamsport to broadcast. All right, let's see.
And the 24th, military now. It's not Dollar Dog Night there. The 26th, no, it's not Dollar Dog Night there. Darn it. I was going to come visit you, but it's not Dollar Dog Night.
And again, Gabe and I talked about that. Evidently, Dollar Dog Night is with Batavia. All right, so Gabe, if you could just avoid any of the state college games, that'd be great.
We'll be catching him, actually, we'll be catching him on Wednesday the 19th when state college hosts Williamsport, and he'll be coming back from the All-Star game.
Yes, in Aberdeen. And they're loaded with All-Stars. Pujols kid's a good-looking ball player. It's an interesting group. They had some young players who are playing very well. They've also got a couple guys that are holdovers, like Mitch Geller, for example, has pitched very well. But he's in his third year at Williamsport. So, looking forward to seeing what they look. State College and Williamsport still have to play 8 more times this year. And believe it or not, right now, if the season ended today, both teams would make the playoffs. State College is actually the wild card leader. So,
let's see, what's going on there?
34-19 is Williamsport on the year. 34-19. They have a 5.5 game lead on State College in Reading. The division. But State College is the wild card leader, though.
Reading Phillies are 67-50, leading the Eastern League right now by 2.5 games.
Mm-hmm. I think winning in the minor leagues is important because you want to put together a winning culture and make players feel like they're a part of a winning culture. And I think the Cardinals have done a great job with that, and you see that with other organizations. The fact that I see so many Phillies teams right now that are winning, you have to be doing some things right to win. It's not just, I mean, player development is very, very important, but the winning part of it in the minors, I think, has been discounted far too long. I think you start developing a winning and competitive mentality in the minors that then brings you to the majors. And I think that's where it starts. If you're constantly a part of an organization that always loses, always loses, always loses, okay, what's the competitive fire about winning? And I think I think what you're finding now, especially now, once the All-Star break is over in the New York Penn League, the season then is very serious from that point to the rest of the year. Because you are trying to get to the playoffs. You are trying to win it. And as I mentioned, both State College and Williamsport would both make it today. And they still have to play each other 8 more times. No dollar dog night when State College is there?
No. I wonder if there is out in State College. Maybe the game out in State College is. And then I could visit you in the Sunbury Motors studio and enjoy dollar dog night following. That's the best of all worlds right there.
It has to be a Monday night for it to be dollar dog night.
Well, half price drafts, that might be enough too.
Is that a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. When are they playing? Wednesday, Thursday?
Wednesday, Thursday, yeah.
Dollar beer night's Thursday, man.
Well, that's half price, 16 ounce. Oh, no, dollar 12 ounce. Now yes. We're talking. Oh, but wait a minute.
Beard.
Wait a minute. If I can get a college ID between now and the 19th, it's dollar dogs and half dollar, well, and then half price drafts on the 19th.
I saw you in person the other night. I can tell you in no uncertain terms that moment has come and gone.
Hey, listen. Years ago, I said to the then coach of Susquehanna, I said, hey, if you ever need a lineman, I have 4 years of college eligibility left. He said, if I need an out-of-shape 40-year-old lineman, I'll give you a call. Don't be sitting by your phone.
Now look where you are. Telling everybody that a map tells you that New Mexico is the most popular team in New Mexico. Look at the progress you've made.
I thought Steve Briggs was just kidding when he told me that, but he seemed to be serious.
I'm taking my Sunbury Motors vehicle, and I'm driving to Brewers Outlet. Have a great weekend, everyone.